Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin, no matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app. Thank you for tuning in. If you missed any part of today's show, you can always go back and listen to the podcast, listen to the whole show, listen to the parts that you want to listen to, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com or wherever you find podcasts. And returning champ back again to give us some updates and stories about beer across Wisconsin. Chris Drosner is here, who is the executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine and also the columnist of The Beer Baron, which he writes for Wisconsin State Journal. Welcome back. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back.
So what have we missed since I think we talked before Christmas? But what have we missed as far as or what's new in the beer world?
We talk a lot about openings and like all the new breweries, but we kind of got a bummer of a story this time. We talked about this a little bit last week, is that if you love something, make sure you support it. And I'm not sure exactly if this is the situation here, but we lost a brewery in the Milwaukee area last week. It was West Allian Brewing in West Dallas closed. And this was the first brewery in West Dallas, which is a kind of an industrial suburb of Milwaukee. And it's a very small brewery. I mean, this is, this brewery is kind of the epitome of what the breweries that are driving continuing to drive the brewery boom of the last several years is a neighborhood place. They make their own beer, but you know, I think it kind of the function of this place is as much a gathering place and a meeting place for the neighborhood, for the community, that as much as it is like a place where you're going for great beer, you know? It had a 5-year run, opened in 2017, which was a time when, there were like maybe 10 breweries that opened in the Milwaukee area in that year. So there was a lot going on here. Brewery people, I think, don't really like to talk about competition a whole lot, but, West Allis, this was the first craft brewery in West Dallas in 2017, but two opened this year and another opened, I think, in 2020. So, and one of them was really big. Oak Brewing in just up the street is like really big.
Close?
Yeah. Well, yeah, actually not too far away. Almost most of the breweries are kind of on the east side of West Dallas. So, Oak is like a big brewery that has packaging capabilities. And, so I think that's geared to be a little bit different kind of operation, but it also has a really awesome tap room that's really great to be in. And, you know, West Allian had a nice tap room, super nice people. Kim and Eric Dorfner were the owners, and, I had a night there once. a friend of mine and, a friend of mine and myself were at a bar called the Drunk Uncle. And anybody who knows, anybody in the Milwaukee area, you probably know about the Drunk Uncle and what happens there. The owner Neil was talking to us, and he's like, "You guys haven't been over to West Allian? We're going right now." So we just walked.
He just leaves his bar.
Yeah, let's go. And they gave us a tour of the brewery as such. This is pretty small. They had this dog. Oh my God, she's so sweet. Her name's Alice, like at West Allis. Amazing. Really nice folks. And so, I think obviously that was a different kind of thing because, of my, like, as a beer journalist, you see things that, or you get access to things that not everybody does, but I do think that that's kind of representative of what they were about. They were about like special talk, like, you know, being
community,
good neighbors,
yeah,
and being friendly and, you know, engaging the community. So, it's kind of a bummer, you know, I don't think their beer was awesome. They were really known for, their candy corn beer. They made a beer with candy, like a cream ale, I think, with candy corn, you know, for Halloween. And they had a few other kind of goofball beers like that. You know, I had a friend who ranked all 40 of the Milwaukee area breweries at the time. I think this was like last year sometime. He ranked Westphalian dead last out of 40 breweries. So, I mean, it's not, you know, I don't think they were known for a spectacular beer. But it kind of doesn't really matter in my, like, you know, the way that they were serving the community wasn't about making amazing IPAs and that kind of stuff. It was about connecting and giving place of people to gather and have a beer to talk about, you know, more so than just, you know, like, oh my gosh, you got to try this. I'm going to tell all my friends about it kind of thing.
And what is, in your experience of, you know, you've been doing the Beer Baron column for 11 years now?
Yes.
11 years. And so you know a thing or two about the breweries that have come and gone. So is there a balance between, for ones that survive and succeed, the balance between how good the beer is, what the vibe is at the actual tap room, how good the marketing is? Like, is there something, like, is there a pattern that you see, or is it kind of, you can get away if you do one of those three good, you can be successful?
Yeah, I think those are probably the three things that are the biggest factors. And I'll say, like, you know, we haven't had a lot of closures, so it's hard to say, you know, I mean, if the beer is just terrible, you know, like that's going to be a problem. If the branding is just not like good, you know, it's that can be a problem. And if the space isn't good, that's especially going to be a problem. But I think that if you can pull off one of those three, and you know, is kind of the bare minimum. There's also the factor that we don't that we don't see, like how well the business is actually run, you know, like how well capitalized they are, you know, access, the stuff that's kind of invisible that affects all businesses that aren't necessarily coming through in you know, in the, like, say, the taproom experience, or, you know, the actual beer or anything like that. So it's some combination of those three that can guarantee success. Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking to Chris Drosner, who's the executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine and also the author of the Beer Baron column for the Wisconsin State Journal. And speaking of magazines, tell me about MilMag Beer.
Yes. Oh, this is so exciting. We actually had our launch party for it last night. It's called Page Turner Pilsner, and it's made by Eagle Park, which is a brewery based in Muskego. And we had the launch party last night at the their Eastside Milwaukee tap room. And it is so cool. It's for our 40th anniversary. And
so was this your idea?
It's just been such an awesome
partner with them and to have a Milwaukee Magazine beer? I'm guessing it had to be you.
Yeah. Yes. I'll take credit for it. Yes. Kind of. I mean, when it was actually, okay. So the real idea was actually from our editor in chief, Carol Nixon. And as soon as she said it, I'm like, oh my God, why did I not think of that? I was so embarrassed that it wasn't my idea. Yeah, the Eagle Park was the first brewery that we asked, and they were super great to work with. You know, it's a pilsner, so we wanted to do something kind of traditional, but give it kind of a modern spin. You know, we thought that was a good kind of metaphor for what we do as a magazine, and so this is a kind of a classic German pilsner with. The twist is they used a hop variety called Ella in them, which is a It's an Australian variety that has a little bit of it's kind of a floral spicy note that's kind of familiar, that, you know, that would be in characteristic, I guess, of a German Pilsner, but it also has some of these kind of citrus grapefruit aspects too, that's not typical in a Pils. So, you know, it's great. And I drank quite a few of them last night. And it's exciting. This is not just like you go to Eagle Park and have the Milmaid beer. This will be in cans in, you know, like at Sendix and all your, you know, kind of classic, you know, your standard bottle shops all around the country or all around the metro area.
Is it going to be limited edition for like a limited time only, though? Or is it going to be like in perpetuity, as long as it sells well, we're going to sell this thing?
I don't think so. This is going to be, I think this is going to be a one-off batch. So once it's out, if you want to get it, then you should. You don't wait for the second purchase, because it'll be hitting stores next week, and then you know, maybe a week or two, or depends on how fast it goes. But this will be it.
Well, and also this ties in. You guys have had a big, I don't know if we want to say week. I guess was it last week that the Milwaukee Public Museum story came out that has caused a lot of ripple, at least online. It's caused a lot of ripples as far as, because that was the interview, right? As far as the understanding of what's going to happen with the exhibit, the beloved exhibits.
Yes. So the story's in our January issue, and we published it digitally last week, I believe. And then Sunday night, Milwaukee Record posted a story about, MPM posted our story saying, you know, just onto their Facebook, and everybody, you know, people started reading the story, and there's a line in there where they say, none of the exhibits will be moving in their entirety to the new facility. And that's that the transition is kind of what the interview was about. It's a Q&A with two of the executives of the museum. And that line, that's not a direct quote, something like that.
But it was not the main part of your article.
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of stuff in there, and we knew that was an interesting line but you know, it's just one line of many in the entire story. So, but that started getting a lot of attention. People were kind of freaking out about, like, kind of coming to terms with Streets of Old Milwaukee is not going to be in the new, in the new museum, at least in its, you know, present form. And they never said it was.
They made no promise.
All the messaging that MPM has done about the new thing is that things are going to be different, and there will be elements of old things, but not things in their entirety. So it's kind of one of those things of like everybody kind of just realizing what they've been saying. But the Journal Sentinel did a story, like there've been all kinds of, you know, stories react on the reaction to this, to our story. So that's exciting. And then the other big one we've had was there was a we right after Christmas we published a story by Ellie Fishman, who's a freelance writer that we work with a lot, about some pretty serious problems at Columbia St. Mary's Hospital. She's been working on this for about 4 months, talking to current and former staff about the staffing shortages and what that's meant for surgeries, and some of the stuff is pretty concerning. And so that story, even during all this dust up about the museum and all the attention that story has been getting, that story is still our top trending story.
And we'll link that to today's episode. So Chris is still going to be here when we come back. We're going to talk about how I'm doing with Dry January and some of the beers I should try and have tried. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Goes Wisconsin. As we wrap up today's show, Chris Drosner is still here, and he is the executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine and pens the Beer Baron column for the Wisconsin State Journal. And when you were here last month, we talked about going into, for those of us who are doing Dry January, and I can now report that I have tried two different beers from Athletic Brewing Company for all out Extra Dark, which is very good. I don't know if you've tried that one. I'm very impressed.
I have not.
And then they're also their IPA, which is also good. I think I like the Extra Dark more. I did try, which is not a Wisconsin beer, but Lagunitas, their NA IPA, which I've been a fan of. But which other ones, now that we're not even quite halfway through the month, would you say I should try as I'm exploring these? Not any cheaper. They're really not any cheaper than normal beer.
No.
But it tricks your brain a little bit enough that I'm managing through this Dry January.
So tell me about this Extra Dark. Is that like a stout style?
Yeah,
or...
it's a porter stout.
Okay.
So it's, okay. And it's also what I was really impressed with. I think we talked about briefly, Guinness has an NA that tastes like Guinness, which I was wildly impressed with. But this one, I think that's why I like this one, because there's a lot of flavor while still being non-alcoholic.
Yeah. If that's the direction that you're looking at, you might want to check out, I actually mentioned this last month, but Untitled Art has, which is made in Wanakee. They have a full line of NA beers, and those follow in this kind of the footsteps of their regular beers, which are super, super intense flavors, nothing subtle, lots of like pastry stouts. It's kind of pastry stouts and like super hazy IPAs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what they do in their regular beer space. And they have a bunch of that stuff in the NA space as well. So you can kind of try with like chocolate stouts, and they've got a really nice Italian Pilsner that I enjoyed quite a bit. I also neglected to mention last month that I mentioned Lakefront's River West Stein NA. They have two new NA beers that dropped, I think, in time for Dry January. And that's an NA version of another one of their longtime standards, Eastside Dark, which is like a Dunkel lager, dark lager. And then Extended Play IPA, which was Lakefront's session IPA back when that was a thing. And it was really good. It was great. I didn't love that style trend a whole lot, but Lakefront's Extended IPA or Extended Play IPA was one of the better entries in there. And they brought that back as a NA beer. So if you're looking for something a little hoppy, that's the way to go. And have you ever tried any of these hop waters?
I haven't yet.
They're pretty good. I haven't had a lot of them. I've had the Lagunitas one is good, but brewery called Fair State out of Minnesota has a bunch of, they have a whole series of them with featuring different hops. So it's, and you know, it's not like they're not bitter. It's just, you kind of get that kind of, aromatic, citrusy and, profile kind of transposed onto it. It's essentially like mineral water or, like LaCroix, except you're using like, the hop ingredient as the flavoring instead of like, fruit stuff and, that sort of thing.
Pummel mousse.
Chris, as a non-beer drinker, I have to say hop water sounds like hop backwash.
You don't want to try one?
It just does not sound appealing to me.
They're pretty good. Yeah. I mean, I think of it, hops are super herbal and like, I mean, they're essentially like, they're little flower cones that are packed with all these weird things that do interesting things to beer. And of course make them bitter, but that's not, they don't really, you can use them in ways that you don't get that bitterness. So this is kind of like this herbal citrusy, there's a lot of different ways that you can go with, depending on the variety of hop. And, so I don't know if that sounds like it's, I mean, if you don't like IPAs or like hoppy things, hoppy beers, then I wouldn't recommend it, but it's, if you're looking for something different, they're a lot brighter and kind of more, I'd say probably more refreshing than kind of the standard NA beers.
So what's coming up on the show next week? Because you guys have your beer podcast next week, right?
We do. We'll be covering, we'll be talking about West Allian, and we've got a whole bunch of news. It's been a little bit, this winter is kind of a slow period for news. And I honestly do not mind catching my breath and having a few slow months. But yeah, Badger Beer Hour is our monthly live stream. That'll be next Wednesday night at 8 p.m. You can find it on my Twitter. And yeah, that's probably the easiest place to find it.
And your Twitter is WI Beer Baron.
WI Beer Baron, one R.
There you go.
Not like Baron County. Baron, like.
Baron, like a.
Like the lowest form of nobility.
All right. Well, anything else you want the people to know before we wrap up today's show?
I'm just going to put a plug in for the MilMag January issue. It has our redesign in it. So it's just a great issue. I was the editor on our 40th anniversary feature, which brings in a whole bunch of different, like looking back at 40 years of magazines and picking out the most outrageous stuff to kind of bring back. It was super fun, and I think it's a great read. So,
all right, pick it up at Index, pick it up at other local grocery stores. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm a subscriber, so I will get it in the mail. So I'm very excited to see it. But thank you so much, Chris Dosner. We'll see you again next month when I will likely be drinking again, so we'll get back on that horse. But that'll about do it for us today. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Unless you're listening to WXCO in Wausau, then you got the Chad Holmes Show coming up next. But as always, thank you for listening to our show today. Thank you to everyone who texted or called in. We will be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. when we're going to do it all again. And Jane, are you giving me the sign that
I think we're done dancing.
We're done dancing.
We're done dancing.
We're done dancing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been As Goes Wisconsin. We'll see you tomorrow.